This is really why you invited me on, so I can tell you the colors of your aura.
Yeah. We're leading to it.
Tell us more. Okay, what's my color?
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we have a phenomenal guest. Energy expert and soul activist Prune Harris is here. Bean, are you ready?
I am so excited.
Hello, Bean.
Hi.
Are you so excited for today?
I am so excited. In fact, we had some technical difficulties up top and I thought, oh my gosh, this isn't going to happen. And I have so been looking forward to it. But we got it all going.
Every time we have a guest on, we have technical difficulties. I feel like totally. The universe is trying to tell us not to do this to other people, like bring them into the chaos of this show. But we don't listen.
Don't subject them to the horror that is you and me together.
Correct. Well, without any more ado, I want to bring in our guest. We have the incredible Prune Harris. She is an energy expert and soul activist and author of Your Radiant Soul. Prune, thank you for being with us today. Welcome.
Thanks, Maury. Hi, Melissa. It's really fabulous to be here. And just for the record, I like chaos. So bring it on. It's going to be fun.
Great. You'll be right at home here. It is madness.
You're going to regret that in about 7 minutes.
or less.
So Prune, one thing that Melissa and I always like to do is fill each other in on our week by playing a little game, Cringe or Delight. And we just tell each other something either delightful or embarrassing that happened to us this week. And we'd love to hear yours. Do you want to kick us off?
Oh, wow. I get to go first. Okay.
You get to go first.
My delight is definitely today. I've met with some really fabulous women other than yourself. I'm meeting even more fabulous women. but I had a great coffee this morning with a couple of women who run Cornish B Corps. Are you familiar with the B Corps? The business is a force for good. Well, my business is a B Corp, and I spend a bit of time just looking around who else in Cornwall are having female-led B Corps. And so we met up for coffee this morning, and that was such a delight just to connect, chat, support each other, and we're going to make that a pretty regular thing. So that is definitely my delight. I'm feeling very excited by that.
I love
my
that.
Cringe. Well, I think that there's been a few of them this week. The most visible has been that I had scratched my eyeball by rubbing my eye very vigorously. Do you ever get it that like you rub your eye and it just feels so good that you just keep doing it? Always looks disgusting to watch, doesn't it? But for me, it felt so good. But I must have had a little ball of mascara or something in my eye. And I've been walking around looking like I've been boxing. So that's been a little bit cringy to be teaching and on other video things, looking all bruised.
And that hurts. I've scratched my cornea before. Hurt. It really is very painful.
Yeah.
And irritating.
Yeah, it really was. But okay. So we move on from it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're with us and you're okay. Bean, what do you got?
Mine is extremely cringy. I feel like Prune may want to sign off after I share this. I almost thought about not sharing it, but then I thought this podcast is about being real and saying exactly what goes on in our lives. So I was at the hotel. I have a hotel block for my oldest bat mitzvah that's coming up. And I went back just to speak with the event coordinator there about something else. And I saw her maybe 2 months ago when I formally did the block. And I had sworn she was very pregnant when I saw her. Oh, I don't know if I'm making this up in my mind. And then I saw her again and she looked remarkably smaller. So I said, and I almost, even if you have a baby physically coming out of you, I will almost never say anything because you never know and you never want to offend and it's really not my business. But I was so happy for her. And I said, did you have your baby? I said, I think I was speaking with you. Did you have your baby? And she said, no. And I just wanted to crawl into a hole. But I don't even know why, because it looked like I wasn't saying she currently looked pregnant. It was almost as though I thought she was pregnant the last time. Anyway, it was that whole dynamic. I moved on from it quickly, but I felt terrible forever. And I even feel terrible saying it out loud again.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. You said, did you have your baby? And she just said, no, she didn't. That was it.
That was it.
Just no.
Nothing. And then it got the guy next to her kind of looked over and I was like, what am I doing? Like, you, I never say that. I was so excited for her though.
Okay, your cringe is making me physically uncomfortable.
I'm up here right now. I'm like, I just want to shrink down.
I know.
Prune is like, I'm out of here.
I think that's pretty fine. I mean, was she offended? Okay. Was she offended or did...
I felt like it. Oh. But then I was like, I wasn't saying she currently looked pregnant. In fact, she looked even smaller than before. I don't know. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to foot in my mouth again. Let's just... I felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She was lovely. Yes.
We're all uncomfortable. Thank you.
Okay.
Well,
so top that.
I will, actually. And it's not even my cringe. It's someone else's cringe, but it happened to me. So I wake up this morning and there's a missed call from a number I don't recognize. Normally, there's no voicemail there, but there's a voicemail. And I go to play it and it's this man. And he's like, hey, Char, what a great night it was last night. I hope I have the right number. But I just wanted to let you know. So he leaves this message. He's like, I can't see you again today because whoever is coming over with their kids. And I think I should probably hang around for that. I know. So is I was putting pieces
his
together.
Baby mama?
I don't know. And then, but I'd really like to see you again. And then he stops and he's like, wow, what a night it was. So I was like, oh my God. My first thought was poor Char is waiting for this man to call. So I texted and said, hey, I just wanted to let you know that you left a voicemail for the wrong number because I didn't want Char to feel like ghosted
after
such a great night. Not yet.
I'm really happy for them and their great
night. I'm happy for them too. I'll let you guys know. I haven't gotten a response yet.
Get it, Char.
That was my act of service for the day.
Wow.
That was a good service.
Right? Okay, well, nonsense aside. Let's get into it. All right. So, Prune, we have probably 120 questions for you, but we pared them down.
Correct.
We would love to just start by getting to know you. So I want to talk about how I met Prune. I was invited to a workshop Prune did here in California by our now mutual friend, Jennifer Freed, who's been on the show as well, and knew about you through your work, watching your Instagram, watching just how clearly you speak about energy and how clearly you give people tools to become resourced and revitalized. And so really excited to go to this workshop. And when I tell you, I went to this workshop day one, I came home, I think I texted you, Bean. And I was like, this woman is magic.
Yes.
Like blown away just to be in your energy. The things you taught me, I still use. And they really are so helpful. So as soon as I saw you the next day, I said, we really, really want to have you on the podcast. And hopefully you and I are going to work together even more directly. And so you just had to come into my sphere. And I'm just excited to have you here. So I'd love for you to talk about Prune. You know, what is it when we say energy expert, soul activist for our listeners? What does that mean? And also, how did you come to this work?
It was a great workshop, wasn't it? What an amazing group of women. So I came to this work. I think there's two different sort of avenues there. I've always been able to see energy, which I guess is the weirdness about me, but it's also been such a
beauty,
essential and central part of my life. I can't imagine it outside that. I was actually born one of twins and my twin died just before we were born. And so it feels like as I grew, especially for the first, let's say 15, 16 years of my life, I was as much in her world as I was in mine. So seeing dead people, seeing the world through the lens of the living and the not living. So it's kind of really fascinating to think about all of the places in between, all of the places in between our experiences. I think right now, quantum physics would have us understand that what we physically see of the world is 3% of its totality.
Wow.
3%.
Wow.
So I guess in my growing years, I probably saw a bit more than 3%. Can't tell you how much, but I definitely saw more. And that was normal. I didn't know that other people didn't see energy. I didn't know that if I watch somebody walk past a tree, then I see the tree's energy, like a matrix of energy from the tree. I see the human energy. I see the place they connect. If I look at people, I see the places where their energy fields are in flow and really connected and vibrant, and the places where there's depletion or there's congestion, where there's ill health. So all of that's normal for me. One of the reasons I kind of like chaos is I'm from a big family, a farming family. Mm-hmm. So there was always chaos around. I think now with my brothers and sisters and my nieces and nephews, there's 32 of us. So we get together. Wow. Madness, eh? Great fun. But it meant that as the last child in quite a big family and a responsible child and someone that they could trust, I was really left to my own devices a lot. So I grew up in nature. I had the incredible joy of having horses when I was young. We had five or six dogs at any time. So I always feel like the land and the animals grew me. And of course, animals understand energy, yeah? It's only humans that we've kind of educated away from really being able to understand energy in the way that's normal for us. It really is. Mm-hmm. I've taught hundreds of people now to perceive energy, maybe thousands by this point. And all we have to do is forget what we have learned that made us forget it in the first place. Yes, we have to remember. Yes. We have to actually just unfold to our own big ways of perceiving energy. For some people, yeah, it's more visual. For a lot of people, it's sentient, eh? It's clairsentience. It's that place of getting that feeling in your body about something, maybe when you two are together, if one of you walks into the room, you get that sense in your body system of how the other person is. Maybe you're also claircognizant, that you get that sense of like, oh, I wonder how Maury's doing. And then you receive a text from her within a minute, or the phone rings. Yeah, that kind of amazing way of connecting. So understanding energy is natural to all of us. We just have to in some way kind of connect into it. So that was my growing experience. And then when I was 17, I became very ill and I spent 2 years in bed with a chronic fatigue syndrome, which is an interesting, a very, very interesting way of body collapse. Yeah. Adrenal exhaustion, very similar. Many, many people in the world working with that adrenal burnout or chronic fatigue. And for me, it was a whole beautiful, perfect storm that resulted in my sensitivity, meaning that my body just couldn't really function anymore. And it was a case of learning, watching my own energy and learning what had to be released and learning how to gradually coax it back into being. And so that with that, before that point, I wanted to be a frontline war journalist. That was my dream. I wanted to be like right there as a war journalist. That was my big dream. And after coming out of that illness, I was like, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. I really want to work with helping other people understand how to heal.
As a teenager, this became clear after your illness. Wow. Yeah.
How did you learn? Did you learn on your own? How did you gain that understanding?
Yeah, a lot of it was really watching my own energy systems. And you will have experienced it yourself, and most of the listeners would have experienced it as well, that incredible brain fog that comes about when you're unwell or when your body's flooded with hormones or many, many situations where you just can't even think. Hey, so I couldn't even read. But as I started to get little flickers of that life force back. So as I look at you two right now, you've got really big, vibrant energy fields. But I didn't at that point at all. Our aura, our biofield is created from the vitality of your physical cells. And obviously, ill for 2.5 years, my vitality was very, very low. And I began to notice, it was actually my mum, she bought me some kittens. And she knew, a really wise mother and, a wise woman in many, many ways, connected into the animal world very deeply. She knew that animals were big healers. And I already had a dog, but she bought two little kittens. And when I cuddled those kittens, I saw the nucleus inside my cells just pulse a little bit more. I saw the mitochondria wow. in the cells fire a tiny spark of electricity, tiny, like, you know, if it should be a loud, shouty blast inside every one of our cells, this was like a boop, but still, yeah. it was something.
It's something.
And as I stroked the kittens, they buzzed a little bit stronger. And so I started stroking my own skin to see if I could kind of activate more. And so I just kept watching and tracking and seeing the ways that energy would flow from my heart into my arms. What could I do to expand that? And so, yeah, I really learnt on myself in that instance. And then as I moved away from that ill health, and really then I went to university and was a fabulous young person for a while. But by the time I started settling down a bit more, I thought, no, this really is my calling to kind of work with health, work with healing. And so I trained in various modalities and with some amazing healers in the world, shamanically, kinesiology, Eden energy medicine, many different forms, so that I could kind of, I could find ways to distill the language to really make it super simple for anybody yeah. else. And I think that's what I love. I love wordsmithing. And so we put words and energy together. And I do believe that the language of energy is my most instinctive and natural language. So yeah, long answer to that question.
Wow. Laurie, but what a fun, interesting story. I'm curious if you think, this was just came to me, if you think that your chronic fatigue syndrome was in any way related to being so stimulated constantly since you were born, if it was so much energy coming in that your body was like, I don't know how to process this.
I think that's really, really accurate. There was also a few traumas. You know, our aura is designed to really protect yeah. us from external influences. And at the same time, because it's created from that radiant soul energy that we have at our core, if you're, I don't know, one of the easiest ways to think about your energy field is that it needs to hold its own pressure. Yeah. So let's say you're in incredible stress, you're in a situation that's really pushing in on everything that you are. Then if you're resilient, if you've got that amazing kind of balance or center within yourself, then you emanate from that place and you hold that huge stress out. Even if your life is seemingly not stressful at all, if that inner place is really energetically out of balance, and many of us experience traumas as we grow, don't we? And so that can be kind of the foundation of your resilience gets interrupted. And that means then that big pressure is already a bit like a balloon that's been popped or a little bit of a soggy balloon. It's already more depleted inside. So then when external things come in, you don't have the capacity to meet it and retain that real equilibrium, that yin and yang, that balance. Yeah. So for me, there'd been a few events. I experienced a lot of death in my growing years, some deeply traumatic and some not so traumatic. But it felt like by the time I got to that age of 16, the capacity for me to respond was, it had gone. Right. So yeah, absolutely. I always think of many people now, many, many, and it's ever increasing, would identify as empaths or highly sensitive people. Many more are, but wouldn't necessarily identify as that. They don't have that language. And so having that way of understanding how you can keep your own energy flow in balance, how you can really nurture that radiant soul energy that absolutely moves through everything you are, that's kind of what lights me up.
Beautiful.
Are you ever rattled? Can you ever be rattled?
Oh, I can totally be rattled, Melissa. I totally can. But it feels like, well, let me actually, that's a really brilliant question. Let me just think of that a sec. I have a very deep belief in an understanding of our sacred energy. And so I always feel supported. I always feel connected to my ancestors. I always feel connected to the descendants. And I don't mean just biological descendants, but so in a way I have a deep sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. And that means that when something comes along that really rattles me, I can position it within that sphere, yeah?
Mm.
And so then I can be really, you know, maybe I'm upset about something and I can say, oh, this is really difficult to hold on the human level.
Right.
But actually, if I then look to expand it a little bit, I can come back into trust. And in that place, nothing rattles. So do I get mad? Do I swear? Do I cry? Yes, 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 yes. Are there things that irritate me?
You.
Of course. Are there things that really deeply upset me? Of course. But do they stay? No, I always trust that I can transmute them and I can get a lot of help in transmuting them. Yeah. Wow.
What a beautiful reminder about belonging. I think that the way that you
Agreed.
Stated that reminder of what we're connected to. I want to lay a bit of a foundation for our listeners just about this, you know, energy system that is us. You do such a beautiful job teaching and articulating our energy system as humans walking around this planet between the cosmos and the earth, as you say. Can you give that kind of foundation for listeners about us as energy systems and how we hold energy?
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to. I love the joy between you two as well. It's really awesome. I feel like I'm being bathed in joy here.
Thank you.
Joy's
oh, good.
Oh, I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah, for sure. Joy
thank
is
you.
An energy. Anything we think
yes,
is an energy.
Is.
Like we are energetic beings. And by that, I mean that we are kind of a collection of amazing vibrating energy fields, aren't we? And we kind of know it if we think about quantum physics, if we think about the fact that we're made up of particles, however small you want to go. But we're not an accident. We're not a kind of random collection of cells. Every cell we have, every part of our anatomy and physiology has an understanding of how it's governed by kind of a greater template. And there was amazing research, there has been amazing research done now for decades, showing pictures, for example, of an acorn and how the template of that acorn done under certain photography shows up to be the template of a tree. How salamander
wow.
eggs, if they take the
wow.
photograph with this special vibrational photography, if they take the photograph of the salamander egg, it shows the salamander itself, not inside the egg, but
wow.
bigger than the egg.
What?
So we have this incredible template of health, which is our organizing field. So now, you two are here, I am, we are our own unique organizing field. And in that, I perceive that we have six energetic structures inside our energy anatomy. We have the most deep, the most essential, which is our energetic core. And that comes right through our midline. We're connected into everything that's above through the top of it and everything that's below. And it's both electromagnetic and subtle energy. Now, subtle energy just means we can't measure it yet. Our scientific okay. instruments aren't quite up to measuring that. Of course, we could look at the texts of the ancient Indian or the ancient Chinese and know it's been measured in different way for over 5,000 years, but we
right.
still call it subtle, yeah?
Right.
So we've got this amazing energetic core, and that core energy is your soul energy. It really is that amazing meet point of the world soul, of the cosmic energy, of our earth energy, and whatever it is that you are here to experience, live, express in this lifetime. So that core soul then radiates out through all of your body system, and that involves your chakras, your aura, the amazing heart field that is an incredible bridge between your physical being and your soul energy. Also, these beautiful pulsing rhythms of life that you pulse with, elemental rhythms, as well as energy channels, so meridians. Many people will have perhaps had acupuncture or acupressure, so you know about these energy channels that really connect on a very physical physical basis all of the energy in your body system. So yeah, that's what I mean when I'm talking wow. about energy and energy anatomy. And yeah, we're right now talking about three separate people, you two and me, but actually there's nothing about our energy that's separate, nothing about anyone's energy that's separate. We're always connected in through all of that energy anatomy into everything in the room around us, everything beneath us, everything above us, our intuition. It's an amazing kind of meeting point of many different spheres of energy.
That leads me to my next question, actually, is that we're constantly barraged by external stimuli in the environment, in our homes, in our lives, emotional, physical. And I was curious how that can impact, I mean, it must impact all day long our energy systems. And if there's a way that we can lessen the impact of that, as I'm sure it's nearly impossible to just completely block it all out.
Yeah. Well, can I just, I want it for me, when Melissa asked that question, my brain, you taught me, I'm a systems thinker, which I've really embraced since you told me that, because it blew my mind. But I thought about myself and I thought, yes, I have to put things into systems to understand them. So immediately when she asked that question, my brain went into, okay, well, there's the emotional impact of people around you. There's right. the electromagnetic frequencies that we're living with. There's the pollutants in the world. So right. I think that question is so big, and I'd love for you to True. Kind of take your time going through the different types of impact and how they change our energy systems.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went to Miami.
Yeah. Oh,
spring break prune.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't spring break. but that was a really interesting, and I was only there for a few days, but that was a really interesting experiencing of exactly what you're talking about. Like, the pollutant level when I was there was very different to what I was. Well, I had traveled a lot in my life, but something about the few days there, super stimulating, lots and lots of big energies on the physical, the emotional, that place of incredible chemical input as well.
Yeah,
and in a way, the way to work with them is all exactly the same. And it goes back to, Melissa, your previous question about that internal pressure. Because the minute we start reacting to those sorts of pollutants or those sorts of intensities or stimulus, the minute we start reacting to them, we close our energy field into what yeah. we could call fight, flight, freeze, move into the sympathetic and out of the parasympathetic nervous system. The way that I would describe it energetically is that everything about you has the potential of two vibrations. One is to be in the habitual energy field, yeah, in that place of fight, flight, freeze. Everything's kind of squeezed. And you're really working from your habitual, from your subconscious. Mm-hmm. You're reactive at that point. And the other is the creative energy field. So much more the parasympathetic nervous system. It's that place of being able to flex, the place of being able to nurture your inner energy so that the job of the aura, which is to protect you, and connect you and to share information everywhere else, the aura can do its job. If we, let's just flip it on its head a minute and think about detoxing, okay? There's a big trend, isn't there? Detox, detox the liver, especially right. at this time of year. Detox, detox, detox. I would flip that entirely and say, rather than looking to strip away something that has accumulated and needs detoxing, why don't we nurture the amazing detoxification systems that we have in our body. So it's yeah, very right. much like that. When we think holistically and all of that stimulus coming in, We can look to shield, to prevent, to put barriers up, to put walls up against all of those. Or we can look to make our inner energy, our inner resilience so strong that the aura can do its job. And the aura is designed to keep all of that out. Now, let's say right now I was walking down a street in Miami, or that same one that I was in previously, and feeling just the like, holy moly, there is so much stuff coming in right now. And I worked with a particular breathing technique to really activate a lot of the core strengths to move it all out. Breathing technique, because I was walking and it was easy, but I could probably name 4 or 5 different practices that you could do immediately in any situation to just enhance that aura's capacity to be the incredible protector. And not protection as in keeping out things that are beneficial for you. Protect and connect. It's kind of an interesting and very odd concept for a lot of people when we think about our energy systems, especially if you've experienced so much kind of penetration of external energy. Yeah, I'm thinking right now of going to a certain supermarket up the road, and that particular one, I mean, if I need to go there for any reason, I sit in the car and I do a practice. I put one hand on my forehead, one hand on my belly, and I take a few breaths. I'm really tightening that amazing energetic core. I'm working with the central meridian so that I can get into that place that always kind of scrambles everything about me. I can get in there, I can get whatever I need, and I can get out and still feel like, oh, okay, I'm in my big resilience still, I'm in my joy. And if I'm not, if for any reason that my internal pressure has not held, then I can sit in the car and do something else. A simple technique might take a minute, might take two, so that actually, ah, oh, now I'm about to drive and I'm home again. So that's the kind of, that's why I love teaching about understanding your energy. The subtitle for my book is Understand Your Energy to Change Your World. Because when you know, okay, I'm going into a meeting and it's going to be really intense in there, and these colleagues or boss or whomever it is in that meeting is going to get to the point where I might become reactive, whether that's that place of feeling, oh, too small and pressured, or whether it's the place of kind of having to respond with anger. So understanding how just to maintain and do those little tweaks in your energy system so that you can, I would say it, you can stay you. You can be. Yes.
I need to know what is happening in that supermarket.
Yeah.
That's what I need to know. Well, what's going on in there?
I tell you, it sounds like Mad Max. I tell you exactly what's going on in that supermarket. They have
crazy apples.
It has energy lines underneath it. Because, I mean, that's a whole nother topic, the energy lines in the earth. Oh. Energy lines underneath it that then all of the building has really got a kind of squirrely energy to it. And then the lights in that place, I don't know, they didn't just use like fluorescent lights. They used uber fluorescent lights. Ugh, so it begins to be really penetrating. Yeah, it is like a little vortex of chaos.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder if the average folk can sense that difference in energy in the same way. I mean, not the same way you can, but if they can sense like, oh, it's weird in here.
Yep. I would say, from having spoken to hundreds of thousands of people who wouldn't describe themselves as sensitive to energy or knowledgeable about energy, I would definitely say that we all do. We all sense it.
Yeah.
We feel it.
Yeah.
But we might not say, oh, hang on, it's just the energy of this place.
Yes.
We tend to kind of be pushed into that fight, flight, freeze, pushed into that reactivity.
Yeah, for sure.
But we don't understand why, and we don't know that we can do something about it either. So yeah, we are deeply energetic beings. So we always know.
Yeah. Yes. You said something in our workshop that I want you to repeat here about energy vampires, because it actually goes to what you're saying here, which is what I'm hearing you say is, and to answer Melissa's question, what I heard was, when you're resourced internally, when you're, that energy is vitalized internally, that is enough to interact with whatever you're interacting without experiencing that drain. So what do you think about this concept of being with someone who can drain your energy or an energy vampire?
I know. I'm often not very popular when I
I love it. I love it when you say this.
Yeah, me too. Yes. And I agree with it also.
I agree with it. Yes.
Well, when I suggest that there's no such thing as energy vampires, that actually we are all responsible for our own energy and our own maintenance of it. And that doesn't mean we're alone in it. That's something totally different. If we're alone, then actually it will mean that resourcing our energy is far more difficult. But being able to understand that there is only one person who can ever maintain, support, and nurture your energy, and that's you. So if you're with someone who is super needy, or with someone who actually is able to trigger you, because that's the thing, isn't it? Like that person that we can define as an energy vampire or super needy or whatever words we might use, some of them not very complimentary. Whenever we're with that person, for a different person, let's say someone else in your work, for them to be with that person, they might not feel that that person is a drain on them at all. And the only way anyone can ever be a drain on us is when we can get triggered by parts of our own experiencing that isn't in its fullest expression or healing yet. Otherwise, you just say, you know what, Bob, I'm going to go and do some other stuff now because I'm not enjoying this conversation anymore. Have a great day. Or whatever it is that you say. You say, Bob, I don't want to listen to all of this moaning anymore. What do you need to do to be happy, mate? You just flip it around, don't you? But it's only when it's in that place. And I would say the other thing, we are programmed so deeply about how we exist in the world, aren't we? So a lot of those triggers come from the programming. Let's say in that instance when Bob is draining our energy, if we felt empowered and supported by our culture, especially as women, we'd be able to say, hey, Bob, back off now. And be able to say it with compassion, with love, with our own healthy boundaries, with ourselves as supported and empowered women in our culture. And instead, our boundaries tend to have to be far more reactive, or we have to hold them fiercely or just perceive them wilting and collapsing. So fully recognizing that we are energetic products, not just of amazing families and a egalitarian society. So those triggers, they're really there, really there. I never want to kind of belittle anyone who has the concept of energy vampires. It's there's a lot of reasons that other people, we can feel that they take our energy, but we're the only one that can take it back.
Resource yourself.
How do we stop them though? But how do we stop just by resourcing yourself? How do we stop the, I don't want to say allowing them to take our energy or deplete our energy? How do we form a bubble?
So how let's put that into my language there, Melissa. Like, how do we hold ourselves in our healthy boundaries? How do we do that? Many, many ways. Energetically, it's that place of exactly like we've talked about, having our center resourced. But for me, when we think about boundaries, we could interchange that with the word choice, Healthy boundaries means healthy choices. And if we think about boundaries as choice, then we understand it's something that's always fluid, always fluid. Your boundary with Maury will be very different than your boundary with someone else in your life.
Of course.
What she can ask, push, laugh, say honestly to you will be very different. So recognizing sometimes, and I teach a lot on shadow and boundaries and the skill of kind of soothsaying, of talking our own truth. How do we express ourselves in our worth as our amazing soul? Like, we're only needing to understand how to kind of bring the resiliency out. And at that point, the aura does the rest of the job. It holds its boundaries for you. So, in a very simple way, especially for you, Melissa, as I'm looking at your beautiful energy system, which is so so fluid and so kind of loving and giving, and then has to slam down a harsh boundary. Because if you don't slam the boundaries down, so your boundaries aren't so much about choice, they're more about like, oh my goodness, I need a boundary right now. And it gets kind of slammed up. So that then is done out of balance or out of ease, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so to actually be able to say, all right, if I was working with you, then it would be a case of really activating the strong auric membrane, this amazing membrane. You said the word bubble, exactly, at the edge of our bubble, just like those bubbles that you blow out of the little thing,
right?
You dip in and blow. You've got that membrane, haven't you? Now, if we're talking about the blowing bubbles, that membrane, you could flick it and it would literally pop. But what we want, imagine that bubble blower is kind of on an industrial size and it's got an incredibly thick membrane. So breathing, conscious breathing can help that. But also some of the biggest questions is just what nourishes you? What nourishes you? What do you do for yourself in a day, with yourself in a day? How do you help? Exactly like we're talking about the liver and detoxing. How do we help your system radiate out, vibrate out in such strength that actually those boundaries become far more at ease in your system? So why don't we do a little practice? I can talk it through for those.
Yeah,
because I think this one
I was hoping you would ask.
I think this one would be great for you. I already mentioned the mitochondria, these like amazing power-packed kind of like little galaxies. That's what they look like to me inside our cells. Mitochondria, of course, only come from your mum and the entire mother line, which is a very, very, very cool fact, yeah?
Oh,
so
fun.
These amazing power packs. And there's a way that we can work. I call it the mitochondrial pump that activates the electrical energy of the mitochondria inside each cell. So then if you just have that as a little image, whatever a mitochondria looks like to me, often I think of this like amazing female galaxy. It sparks out this power. And so then the cell membrane gets stronger. That connects into the next cell membrane and so on. And you really are just a cell. You're a cell in the cosmos. Yeah, so when we're able to really activate each of our mitochondria, activate the cell, activate you as a cell, you then in your balance activates the people in your life as a cell. And suddenly we've got this incredibly different organism living within our cosmos of balanced, radiantly expressed human beings. Sound good?
Oh, that's like the dream for my children. I want them to be balanced. What was the language you just used? Radiantly expressed?
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
All right. So let's do it. Let's place
it.
Both hands together in a prayerful position in front of your chest. And for a moment, forget everything we're talking about. One of the easiest ways to enhance everything about your energy system is just to relax, to invite yourself home, taking a nourishing breath, not needing to be anything, do anything, change anything, but just calling your own energy home, welcoming it. Maybe meeting and greeting those deeper parts of you that today with a busy to-do list, you haven't even had a chance to say hi to. Okay, so on your next in-breath, as you breathe in, you're just going to press your hands together some and kind of even bring a little rock into your body. You really want to activate that heart field. And as you breathe out, you're going to turn your palms out towards your aura or towards the edge of your aura. Yeah? So you're turning your palms out so they're facing away from you. And as you move your arms right out as far as they'll go, you're going to work with a breath. And let me show you the breath. It's going to be, all right, three breaths. So breathing in, hands together, give them a squeeze. Breathing out, turn the palms out. Perfect. Breathing in, squeezing those palms at the chest center, turning the palms out. Let's do that one more time. Breathing in. And then just relax. Maybe even take a moment, keeping your eyes closed. Just sense, get a little curious. Be your own energy detective. How does that feel? How does it feel to you in that space between your skin and the edge of your aura, which will be about where your palms were as your arms were fully extended? How does your head feel? How does your sense of self feel? Okay. How did that feel, Melissa?
That was lovely. I felt like my left arm couldn't go out as far as my right arm. There is a wall to my left, but I wasn't even picking up on that. It just felt like there was, couldn't mm-hmm. move. Is it equal around you? Is your aura like an equal circle around you?
It, in its healthy form, it is equal. And that would be something for you just to be really curious about as you do that over the next few days. Yeah. Does that left arm feel like, oh, actually there's more space there? When we work with that, we're using electromagnetic energy from our hands. We're using our breath. We're using that strength of the mitochondria. And we're also using our consciousness, aren't we? Just thinking like, oh yeah, I want these healthy boundaries. I want that choice. I want that capacity to be resilient. So that is also really powerful. Your energy follows your thought always.
Can you see auras? Can you see my aura? Can you see everybody's auras that you walk by on the street?
Yeah.
So I know your next question, Beans. I'm going to just stop you right there.
I was like,
before you ask, Prune, we have been talking about auras, but I want to just slow it down. Can you explain again, what is an aura? Do we all have one? You talked about the beautiful membrane, but just give us a 101 on what an aura is.
Yeah, so an aura is part of your energy anatomy, and every part is important. The aura, also known as the biofield or your auric field, they try to use some scientific terms like biofield, meaning it's the field of energy that comes off your physicality, your body, your bio. And it emanates off the body system itself, but it comes from that power of every cell. So if we went back to when I was very poorly, then my aura would have been maybe on my skin, maybe even hugging closer around my organs. Yeah. So most people in their average day will have an aura that is somewhere, if I extend my arm, is going to be somewhere between the elbow and the end of their fingertips. It's that kind of distance. Now, what I would say is, unless you're someone who works with your energy consciously, maybe you meditate, maybe you do Qigong, you go for your fabulous massages and acupunctures. If you're someone who's kind of really aware of your energy, then maybe you'll have an auric membrane. But because it's nothing, it's a bit like, Maury, imagine that you never brushed your hair or cleaned your teeth. Your hair and your teeth might not be in the best shape, eh? All of your energy is like that. We can get stuck in ruts or patterns, which are energetic ruts and energetic patterns. Anything that shows up in our physical or in our emotional way is energetic. So when we are able to understand our aura and really work with our consciousness there, we're able to enhance it. Yeah. Just like when you clean your teeth, you're enhancing your oral hygiene. It's exactly the same. So For people who are conscious about their aura, then simply by thinking about it, your energy can make it stronger, make it bigger, make it more resilient. It's designed to connect you into yourself, connect you into other people, the world around you. It's designed to protect you in exactly the way that we've been talking about. And it's designed to carry information. Energy is just information, eh? Doesn't matter what kind of energy we're talking about. It's coded for fields of information. So your aura is absolutely key in your entire body system, in your whole body system, which involves the aura as well. Your aura is key for communicating energetic understandings throughout your entire system.
Is it neutral then? Would you say they're all neutral if it's just energy carrying information, or it can be positive or negative?
I would say there is no such thing as positive or negative when it comes to energy, unless we're talking about electromagnetic charge, in which case there is. Energy is energy is energy. How we work with it can have effect in the world that is beneficial to the balancing and the healing of our world, or detrimental to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would just put it in slightly different terms there. If we have, let's say we have a detrimental thought about ourselves, we look in the mirror and we say, ugly, fat, why don't I eat better? Why don't I go to the gym more? Yeah. Those thoughts are deeply damaging for the flow, harmony, and balance of our energy system. So in that case, we could say that's a negative thought, Melissa, yeah? But actually, if we had choice to think differently, we'd take it. No one chooses to be stuck in a rut, do we? No one chooses to be bad-tempered or upset. I never met anyone who, if they had real choice, would choose to be at that vibration. So when we look in the mirror, and if we say negative things to ourselves, is because we're running old programs in our energy systems. And those old programs, for me, it's imperative that we just help them come back into healing, eh? Let's just change the program. You can think of, it's not an analogy I like very much, but it blimmin' well is useful. You can think of your energy as the amazing programs or software for everything we experience. So at times we get glitches in them. Let's say you grew up in a family, or you're working in a workspace where you are continually undervalued. Your self-worth starts to be deeply impacted, doesn't it? So now you're thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. That is an energetic pattern. Let's heal that pattern. It's pretty easy to do. You have to know how to, but it's pretty easy.
Don't tell any therapist that.
Well, you know, there are amazing therapists who work with the energy of words. Totally. And there are many, many therapists who work with energy, like the whole tapping revolution, that is all energy psychology, and that is having the most phenomenal results around the world, because then you're working with the energy of words and your actual energy anatomy. So I'm telling every therapist that, because the good ones are incorporating energy techniques as well. So when it comes to positive, negative, it's kind of, if we think of them simply as little energetic glitches that we need to help come back into balance, it's a whole different way of conceiving that.
Beautiful. So we hear a lot, when we hear about auras, we hear about colors.
Yeah.
You know, you have these people who can take a picture of your aura and, you know, read the color. Can you tell us a little bit about colors of auras? Do they change? Are they always the same? What is the color relation?
This is really why you invited me on, just so I can tell you the
color. We're ready. We're
I need some
leading to it.
Yeah, yeah. You're taking on this beautiful pathway.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Tell us more. Okay, what's my color?
I will definitely tell you colors. But what I want to say about auras is that color is simply a vibration, isn't it? And that, I think that's a really weird concept for us. We think, okay, let me see. Well, you're wearing colors similar to mine here. But when I look at this cardigan of mine, I see a beige and I see a white. If I look at my phone, I see a yellow. But actually what we're seeing is a specific vibration that our eyes interpret as what we call the color yellow, what right. we call the color beige. So color is simply energy. It's a specific mm-hmm. energetic vibration. When we look at a rainbow, we've got those different vibrations which we interpret as different colors. An right. animal would see, if I get my phone here, I see this as yellow. An animal might, a horse might not see that as yellow. They don't see yellow. A dog might mm-hmm. not see that as yellow. So there's nothing fixed about colors. And I feel like because we're taught at school, this is green, this is blue, this is yellow, we think of it as a truth. And there's nothing, there's no single truth about colors. They're just vibrations. They flow, they move. So all of that to say that in our auras, everything that we think has its own vibrational color. So let's say that I'm walking along and my aura's got some yellows and greens and blues, and I'm thinking, oh, I love that thing over there.
And some beautiful
pink sparks up. And then I'm like, oh, but I don't know about that person. I'm really struggling about that individual. And so maybe some beautiful chocolate browns come in to help ground me as I'm thinking about that. So everything about your aura is continually changing. Everything. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to ask. Yeah. Minute to minute or like as you evolve?
Millisecond to millisecond, not minute to minute. There's nothing static about your system. Let's take a hormone that your mental processing electromagnetically is equivalent to 40 bytes a second. Your emotional and energetic processing is 40 million a second. These are the difference between the energy of the subconscious and the conscious brains. So when we're thinking anything, when we're feeling anything, and we're always thinking something and feeling something, then there's movement going on in our fields continually. There's one color that stays the same, one color, and it's the color of that energy of the soul. Yeah, that is not influenced by all of that thinking, experiencing. It's a constant vibration. And that vibration emanates from the core through every single cell, every part of our energy systems, right the way out through the aura. And that's what I would love people to get curious about. Not the Curlian photography that shows a tiny instantaneous snapshot of what their aura was right. doing at that time, but this amazing soul color that resonates through all that they are, and generally shows up in the outer band of the aura where everything else gets quieter. So are you asking, Melissa, for me to tell you what your auric colors are right now or what your soul color is?
I absolutely am, if you are open to it.
Which one?
Wait, so your auric color is your one constant color, and then your soul color is based on experience?
No, the soul color is the one constant. Yeah, the soul color is the one constant. And it also says a lot about your vibration as soul in this world. Yeah. So if I was looking at your general aura, I would say you've got a lot of deep emeralds. You've got a lot of yellows in there. Whenever you ask her, whenever like you have to really think, there's big purple that flashes all around your head. So many, many, many colors that move. It's interesting in your energy field. Yeah, it's like whew, whew. The area of your aura that is the least involved, where I would love you to be thinking some nice juiciness around it, is from your knees downward. And that lets me know that you are not an incredibly grounded person, that groundedness could kind of get knocked off in you because the electromagnetic and subtle energy towards the lower half of your body just isn't quite in its fullness. Would you say, Melissa, that you are sometimes are challenged by being deeply rooted and grounded?
Oh, shush your mouth, Maury. I see her shaking her head. I think of myself as a relatively grounded human, but I can be thrown.
Yeah.
and I go through, once I'm thrown, I have a hard time like regrounding, I guess.
Yeah, because it's not a way that your system immediately grabs. It's been trained a little bit away from that. But like, let's look at the flip of that is that, Okay. Wow, your imagination, like you can go up Yes. Into those realms, no problem whatsoever.
Yes.
Now, what I would love to encourage is that you can do both. You can be in that amazing place of the imaginal realm and be deeply grounded. One of those patterns, I didn't talk about the layers of the aura or the patterns in it, but one of the biggest patterns is a big figure eight pattern, yeah, that lemnis gate, every angle, every size. And you could literally just use your hands to draw those lemnis gate patterns all through your aura, but especially in places where it's not in its biggest vitality. So even as you're sitting here, you could just be working. So I would literally just be doing those great big
around my below my knees.
And just so for our listeners, Prune is just making an infinity symbol with her hands, and she's just saying that that infinity symbol can be drawn in the air around the part of you that needs more of that auric connection.
And even more, Maury, you can do it anywhere in your auric system because it will pick it up and it will carry it through it. And areas that are a little depleted will be really infused with that as well. It's that amazing webbing and network. So anyway, to get back to, you have a very, you've got a very, very beautiful soul color. Finding the word, it's somewhere between a violet and a sky blue. It's not as deep as a periwinkle, almost like a lilac. That's the word I would say.
That's really beautiful.
It is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And the lilac energies, every soul like that becomes part of the violet soul family, eh? The lilac sits in the violet soul families and, really, very gentle, very strong. That capacity to be kind of gentle and strong at the same time is a real gift of the violet soul families, and that lilac especially. Big love, love of people, love of family, love of children, love of the quiet times. All of these are kind of attributes of that lilac, but also a bit of a fierceness. There's The lilac has a touch of this sort of pinkiness, I guess, which would come more from the red soul family. And there's a sort of a warrior aspect in your system too. So if you see an injustice, you're not going to be okay with that. That's not going to be something that your system will just think, oh, well, it's not me. Your system will tend to kind of say, hey, that is not okay.
That's not
okay. I want to do something about it. Much more we could say about
this. Insanely accurate.
Yeah. I mean,
that is very accurate.
This, all of this is very accurate about me, I think.
Well, that's great. I think so too.
You're doing a great job, Prune. Keep up the good work.
Spot on. I have a question as you're talking to Melissa about these colors. Is there a way to work with this aura to enhance your life? And by the way, I just want to say, all of these things we're asking Prune, she's being so generous with her knowledge.
So generous.
Your radiant soul answers so many of these questions so deeply. So go pick up this book or download it. It is so clearly an answer to so many of these questions. And is there something small you can tell us about how we can work with our aura to enhance our life experience?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's start with things that we already know, because we might not think about the effect they have on our energy bodies, but good nutrition, good sleep, exercise, a good laugh, you know, time with friends, watching a fun movie, anything that just brings you home. Your natural way is to be in balance. I have worked with thousands of people who have been chronically ill, cancer, many, many different forms of deep illness. And what I would say is I've never seen anyone whose total energy system is out of balance by more than a few percent.
Oh, wow.
So it's not like you're broken. Sure? It's not like...
Are you sure? Because there's a lot of people who I'm like... Mm.
Yeah, no, I promise you, Melissa, I've never seen that. Even if there is real imbalance in their lives, even if they come across as the most extreme or upsetting or aggressive or nasty person, it's a small glitch. It just goes very deep. It's just wired through every experience that they are presenting with. And ironically, those are some of the easiest and most radical and beautiful sessions of healing. Because the system itself knows that this isn't harmony. This isn't health. This isn't balance. This isn't what they're here to do in this life.
Right.
And so the wisdom of our energy system is absolutely immense. Every one of us has incredible wild wisdom inside us. So knowing that everything that we're told to do for our body also enhances imbalance. Yeah, I'm not talking about anything extreme here, but being out in nature, having exercise that makes you feel good. No punishing regimes. I'm not talking about strict diets, but eating in ways that your body can thrive in. Your body and your energy are pretty much the same thing. So just to know that first. And then when it comes to your aura, I think one of the ways I would really say, Maury, that can be so beneficial, the mitochondrial pump that we just did.
Yes, that was great.
Working with that lemniscate or infinity sign, those figure eights, really just moving them. And I've got hundreds and hundreds of free videos on my YouTube channel and on my website. And so if you're thinking, I'm not really sure what she means, then go and look at other ways to work with your aura there. But also just being mindful of it, thinking about it. Your energy follows your thought intention. So anything that you do with your hands, maybe you've just been in a meeting and you think, oh my goodness, if I had such a thing as an aura right now, it's taken a beating from all of that yucky energy in there. Then go into your office or go into the loo, whatever, wherever you can have a bit of personal space, and just take a moment, put one hand on your belly, one hand on your forehead. Take three or four breaths. Allow your energy system to move out of that fight, flight, freeze habitual field and back into that connective and creative field. Take a few breaths, then do some nice figure eights or that infinity pattern inside your aura or against your body, wherever you need a bit of support. And then go back and move through your day. And the more you do it, the more your aura holds its resiliency, the more your energy field holds its resiliency. You know, it's not a magic pill. You can't do it once and that's it for the rest of your life. Think about brushing your teeth or combing your hair. It's these little tweaks that just think, oh yeah, I'm back. I'm me again. I can be me. I feel like so many of us move through our lives so much smaller than we really are, because if you could see your own energy, you would know how magnificent every single human being is. You would know, you'd be in absolute awe of how beautiful you are. And so you'd show up in your own life in a different way. Yeah.
Beautifully said.
I really love that.
All right. Well, we have kept Prune for very long, so I'm going to say we each get one last question. Bean, do you have one last question for Prune?
My question was going to be, really, have you ever encountered somebody whose energy is so dark that their color is, you know, almost what we perceive as black or some very unattractive color? That you're like, I don't even know how to help you.
No. Every person at that core energy is magnificent. Obviously, some people have had life experiences either inflicted upon them or that they've brought forward that have, if we're talking about glitches, there'll be deep glitches, eh? But never have I seen a human or an animal, that at that soul level is anything other than absolutely exquisite. And also, I want to say something about that concept of kind of a dark or a black. We are every space inside us is that amazing black potential, like the black hole. You know, it's so full of the energy of becoming. So no, I've never seen anyone who cannot come back into fullness. Wow. Yeah, that fullness is always there.
It's beautiful.
It's also just such a message of hope, which
agreed.
I really love.
And acceptance almost. Like we all have capability.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because we're suffering from such separation. And I think, yeah, Prune, what right. you're reminding us is that no, actually, we are all this divine, beautiful, magnificent source energy. And there's just some glitches in our systems yeah. that we haven't been taught. We haven't had enough teachers like you articulating in such a practical, pragmatic way right. what our energy system looks like and how to take care of it. So this is my last question, and it's a two-parter. Help us understand why understanding ourselves this way as an energy system matters right now. And the last thing I want you to share with our listeners is if you could have everyone do one thing every day to get back to this space of enhancing and taking care of their energy, what would that be?
All right. Fabulous. Why it matters, why understanding energy matters is that it gives us an interconnective language for every single thing that we are, that we experience, and that we have the potential to be. It really is that simple. So let's put it in a practical term. I have a beautiful husband. Let's say I'm feeling irritated, okay? And he's the guy that walks in the room. And we have a little exchange. He's a very, very kind man. So even when he's irritated, his exchanges are kind. But we have a little exchange and he leaves the room. I can then think, what was that about? What was that about? What's going on? Oh, you know what? I feel really tight today. All right, why do I feel tight? What's going on in my system? Like, wow. I get that sense of just like restriction. Okay, well, let's do a little practice. Let's just move in some way. Let's connect something up in some way. I'll be able to throw out three or four practices that I can, I feel a bit better now. I think that's hormonal. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so I need to pay a bit of attention to my hormones here. Or it may be something like, I think actually I'm just feeling really sad today. I don't know what, I can't track the sadness. Maybe it's grief of the world. I've got no clue. But okay, if I'm feeling sad, I'm going to bring my hands up. I'm going to cover the end points of my lung meridian. I'm going to pop my fingers into my armpits and just support my heart. Woohoo! Amazing.
You see that? What's that for? Was that your aura? What was that?
You're seeing
that's the
energy.
Aura of... of Apple. You for our listeners, you I know, like the it. New iOS has all kinds of things that pop up on the screen when you're on a Mac or Apple and you do certain things. And Prune just gave herself a hug and fireworks erupted from yes. behind her on the screen. It's amazing.
Happens?
Yeah, that's what I think that you don't have it.
A cosmic message. That's awesome.
Squeezing myself.
So it's a way that then
I love that.
I can understand that something was off with me. I can try a few things. I can get it back on. I can feel good. I can feel loving to myself. And finally, I can walk out the room and say to my husband, hey, sorry about that. I don't know what was going on with me. I just felt a little bit crappy then. And him to say, oh, you know, that's all right. I'm glad you're feeling better. Well, how mm-hmm. different could that have gone?
So differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just a tiny example. We can put that into every single experience we have, every single experience. Yeah. If there's any time that we feel lacking, any time that we feel low, any time we feel full of rage, but not in a way that's balancing, you know, there's passion, which is fabulous. We can bring passion into our life. But if it's destructive energy for us, then we're burning up our life force, aren't we? Whether that's depression, mm-hmm. that's depleting it, whether it's a level of rage that isn't healthy for us, no matter what emotion, if we're not experiencing joy most of the time, we can do more by understanding our energy. So that's the first
tiny thing
question.
Yes. What's one little thing you'd like us to do to take care of that?
We could put both hands on the heart. So both hands on the chest. Very, very simple. Or at the risk of setting off the fireworks again, we could put fingers into the armpits so that you're crossing over your chest. You're giving yourself this amazing heart hug. Just that's powerful. It activates the heart field, helps your electromagnetic grounding, invites the heart and the soul to connect in this big level of consciousness. But from here, we can take it one step more and we could say, what do I need today to nourish? What do I need to do to nourish me? Yeah. What do I need to do to nourish me? And to take a few breaths there. I think that is one of the most powerful ways to gently and quickly rewire a lot in your system. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
But Maury, people will be really interested about your aura. They'll be thinking, well,
I was going to ask after we wrapped.
What's going on with Maury's?
I want to know. I just didn't know what, I didn't know if I was allowed to ask or what.
If I say, oh, this is the one really dark aura I've ever seen.
That she's ever seen.
I know that won't be true.
I would be delighted for you to tell us. Yeah.
Did I tell you anything about your colors when we were together?
You said during the workshop that my soul color was a salmon-y kind of peach coral color.
Yeah, so beautiful. Yes. But I would say that there's a second part to it. So that salmon-y, it's a bit deeper than that. I think peach is probably a better word for it, or coral. Coral, I'm going to go with coral actually, but a soft coral, yeah? A coral can be so many colors, can't it? But that coral color holds an incredible, no wonder you two are such great friends, because in a way your system grounds some of the places that Melissa's doesn't, and her stretch, her capacity to go so like big and high and wide in her thinking helps invite that in your system too. Yeah. So that's really beautiful. But there is another color that is very prominent in your system, Maury, and that's a very, very blue purple. And the purple is an incredible color. The purples are generally some of the wisest people walking. And the wisdom comes at a level of such depth. It's like with those purple soul colors, and it's quite close to the violet, isn't it? So to that lilac-y. So there's this, again, this lovely, like, you know each other. I don't know how you met, but when you met, you would have immediately felt that kind of, oh, I get you and I want more of you because of that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And that's because of the similarity there, the way that you complement each other. But with that incredible purple, it makes you a natural teacher. Yeah, you can share things with other people because you bring forward your heart energy as you share the information. And, you know, words are one thing, but the transmission of that sort of wisdom of the heart is what we really take in, whether we know it or not. So, that's really beautiful, beautiful.
Wow. Also so accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. I really do. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And I really appreciate the work that you do. It is such a loving invitation back home to ourselves. And we are so disconnected from ourselves and from each other. And so I just can't thank you enough for devoting your life to this work. We need you. And for being so generous with your knowledge. Yes. I mean, Prune said she has hundreds of free videos on YouTube where you can learn these practices and exercises. Prune, where can people find you if they want to spend more time in your work?
Well, one of the really easy things about having such an odd name is that there's no one else out there with my name. So a simple Google search will find me very easily. PruneHarris.com is my website. Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, all the same, Prune Harris. And seeing as we talk so much about soul colors, and I do want to mention that I have a free download all about soul colors on my website. Cool. So Melissa, I see you light up there. You definitely want to 100%. Go read more about those violets. Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, and we will link to all of those links on the show notes, as well as to Prune's amazing book, Your Radiant Soul. Truly, it's life-changing, and you'll understand your system so much more completely. Prune, thank you for the time and the work. And I am so excited to now be connected to you and have you as part of my collective.
Oh, well, me too. So thank you so much. What a joy to, and what a joy to see you together. It's a joy to meet you individually, but yeah. Really, thanks for having me here.
That's so meaningful.
Thank you, Prune. Thank you. Thank you, Bean. As always, guys, if this show has helped you in any way, please, you can support us by sharing it with anyone else that you think would also benefit from listening. And as always, leave us a review anywhere you're listening to this podcast. See you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted by me, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka. Special thanks to my production team, Anushree Thekadeth, Arman Kassam, and Anais Islami. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. See you then.